Good Monday morning. I'd like to call to order the House Committee on Human Services. If there's anybody from Representative Thompson's office, will they please take a chair at this time? Welcome. We're going to work a couple of Senate bills. I don't anticipate these will take very long, but we have some folks available if we do have some questions. And then we've got, I think, a very exciting informational meeting that we'll talk a little bit more about, and I see nodding heads. I bet you most of you are here for that reason. So we're glad you're here. Be patient with us. We'll run through this, I think, very quickly. With that, I would like to open a work session on Senate Bill 88A. And colleagues, my intention is to move these two bills, and with that, I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 88A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Chair Tomei moves Senate Bill 88A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
My computer is really slow, so I don't have 88A.
Representative Widener, did you want to be recognized in some way? Representative Widener.
Mr. Chair, if I could delay this just a little bit. I'm running startup scripts right now on my computer.
While you're waiting, because all of us are very interested in your computer working.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Mr. Vice Chair.
Would it, if it serves the purpose of the committee, perhaps I could loan Representative Widener a paper copy of the bill for those of us who
I'm
have not
very
yet gone paperless.
And in the meantime, Jennifer's going to give us the quick overview of this bill.
You didn't let me get to the part about
I
come from a forest products district. Paper is very important to us. Computers are not.
Sorry. I cut you off. I'm very sorry.
That's okay. That's okay.
Evidently, because there's like 30 copies of the same bill here, so he wanted to help the timber products industry.
That's right.
On a Monday morning, I'm sorry you all had to hear this. All right. For the record, let's hear the summary. Please, Jennifer.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 88A requires the Department of Consumer and Business Services to adopt by rule prompt payment requirements for long-term care insurance. It requires that the rules include definitions for claim and clean claim. It requires DCBS to consider prompt payment requirements in model acts developed by the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. It defines benefit trigger for purposes of prompt payment. It requires DCBS to adopt by rule internal and external review procedures for denials of long-term care insurance claims, and it requires long-term care policies to include a clear description of the appeals process. It applies to policies issued or renewed on or after July 1st, 2012, and it declares an emergency effective on passage.
Thank you. Now, if we're all up, running, and humming, seeing no discussion on 88A, I'm going to ask Matt to read the rule.
Representative
Greenlee. Aye. Representative Parker. Aye. Representative Parrish. Aye. Representative Widener. Aye. Vice Chair Federer. Aye. Vice Chair
Thompson. Aye. Chair Tomei. Aye. Chair Gillian. Aye. And the motion passes.
Is this a consent calendar type of thing, Madam Chair?
Oh, you know, I think it is.
Representative Greenlee usually...
I will carry it on the consent calendar.
Thank you, Representative. Well, that's a new one, and it'll go to the consent calendar with
Good.
Representative Greenlee doing something. So I will now close the work session on Senate Bill 88A, and I will open a work session on Senate Bill 143. And again, I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 143 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Chair Tomei moves Senate Bill 143 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And I'll just, so everybody's head in the game, I'll ask Jennifer at this point to give us an overview.
Certainly. Senate Bill 143 alters the definition of low-income customers as it relates to eligibility for the Oregon Telephone Assistance Program by removing the requirement that residents of a long-term care facility or a residential care facility who receive medical assistance also not exceed 135% of federal poverty guidelines.
Thank you, Jennifer. Like the previous bill, as my colleagues know, we've heard this bill. It came through the Senate. It flew through the Senate. And if I don't see any discussion, Representative Greenlee.
Not only my computer's slow, it wasn't working at all, so I don't have it with me. But This would, as I remember, would make it easier to receive assistance rather than harder. Is that right?
That's correct.
Thank you, sir.
Good clarification. Thank you, Representative. Seeing no further discussion, I'll ask Matt to call the roll.
Representative Wiser.
Aye.
Representative Parrish.
Aye.
Representative Parker.
Aye.
Representative Greenman.
Aye.
Vice Chair Thompson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick.
Aye.
Chair Tomei.
Aye.
Chair Gillian.
Aye. And the motion passes. And I'm open to your suggestion on this one as well. Is this a consent calendar, or do you think we need to have a carry?
I think it can go on the consent calendar.
We all good with that? Then let's note that we'd like this one to go to the consent calendar as well, and I will close the work session on Senate Bill 143. And with that, I would like to open an informational meeting. Does that need an official opening? So we open on the I can do this. On the subject is Polk County service integration, particularly as this shining county relates to the rest of our state. With that, I'd like to ask the representative that I usually cut off, Representative Thompson, for a few words.
Well, it'd be very few this morning, so I don't want to cut into the program. As you are well aware, in this session, we've been spending a lot of time wrestling with how to better coordinate and pay for services, in human services and medical services for the people of Oregon. And there are a number of programs around the state that are kind of innovative in doing this already, and one of them is Polk County. They've been in service integration for well over a decade. And have done some pretty amazing things. It's the closest thing I've seen anywhere to one-stop shopping for human services. And I asked them to come in today to give us an overview of what they've been doing and how this works, because I think it's a model that we could look at not only in getting better buys for human services, but also as we talk about how we're going to do medical services at the community level. And with that, I will turn it over to Brent DeMoe and Dave Guile. And I think, can I see a show of hands, but I think most everybody in the audience is Polk County Children and Families. Is that true? Yeah. There weren't too many people here I didn't recognize, so, okay. Gentlemen, you're on.
Great. Thank you, Representative Thompson, Chair Gilliam and Tomei, and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to talk today. My name's Dave Guile. I'm actually not from Polk County. I'm from Kaiser, but I am a program evaluator. And in November, I was hired to do an evaluation of the program in Polk County. So the information that you'll see in the slideshow today comes from that evaluation. But first, I'd like Brent to be able to introduce himself.
Good morning, Chair Gilliam, members of the committee. Brent DeMoe, manager, Polk County Children and Families Commission. And I'm just going to be a little bit more specific about who's in the audience. It's less about the Children and Family Commission. They're not members. These are all partners with service integration. So various agencies, faith community, other government entities, and nonprofits are here. So thank you for this opportunity. And we do have a couple of handouts that I think you guys got from Matt, these here, and for the members of the audience, these are up on the table as well. We'll zip through this PowerPoint, and we'll also bring a couple of folks up about midway through to give their perspective as well.
Maybe. We'll see. I didn't mess up. We may need Matt's help here.
Up and down.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. So as Representative Thompson mentioned, this is really about how business is conducted in the human services field in Polk County. When I was hired to do this evaluation, one of the things that I wanted to find out is, where's the evidence? What's the proof that something is happening here that maybe is different, or at least supports the contentions that services delivered through an integration model? To get to that point, what I did was I reviewed 1 year's worth of the meeting notes, all their financial statements. I interviewed team members. I interviewed staff. And I went through, looked at phone log data, and I attended 11 of the service integration meetings to find out exactly what was going on over there. And as I looked at that, what became very apparent was that this is a set of community and agency partners who really work together, and they really work at expediting solutions. Their meeting times are just fabulously fast, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes. They also look at what kind of resources they have to meet local needs, and each need is very clearly defined. And they also work around the idea of, if somebody else is doing it, then let's let the person who does it best do it, and they do a great job of that as well. So who are some of these community agencies and some of these partners? A lot of times I think that we in the public view these situations as government-driven, and in this case I would say it's government-facilitated through the commission, but it's really not government-driven because the majority of the partners are actually not governmental people. They really are agency, nonprofits, business members, and citizens. And I mentioned the idea of expedited solutions. One of the pieces of data that I kept track on was how long did it take them to make a decision about a particular need and how to address it. And the average time was 10 minutes. They have such a network built between the different partners that, and they know so well what one another does, that when a need comes to the table, they're able to very quickly and efficiently describe the need, figure out who's got the resources to get at that need, and then go ahead and address it. Also looked at the length of their meetings, and they limit each meeting to 90 minutes, and that represents 1.1% of staff time. So staff are not sitting in a lot of meetings trying to generate a great deal of ideas. Those ideas are already on the table. They spend very little time in meetings. I thought that was a great efficiency. Because Polk County is fairly diverse, with a substantial part of it being rural, but also urban areas with Dallas and West Salem, one of the things they did was they divided the county up into six teams. And those six teams are by school districts, and each team is very unique. And so the needs that come out of one team are not always the same as what's happening in another team. So the address, the needs are really defined locally. So what happens in Perrydale is different than what's going to happen in Fall City. And as I mentioned before, one of the important things to these teams are that whoever's got the best answer and can provide the resource, that's who ought to do it. So they do that very quickly. They don't duplicate services. So what is a service integration activity? Each of these different agencies, the ministerial association, the nonprofits, they all have their primary mission. And what I did not count in this evaluation is when somebody a service that came directly to them. So if somebody comes to mental health and needs a service and mental health addresses that, that's not included in this evaluation. This was only when two or more partners got together, they collaborated on a solution, and oftentimes it was more than two partners. It might be three or four. There was a recent one where 12 different partners got together to help a homeless situation that was occurring in Dallas. So it's outside the normal day-to-day direct activities. And when I did the counting of activities, what I found out was that just through the meeting times, there were 490 different integration activities that I could identify. But the very first meeting I went to, one of the things I noticed was that at the end of the meeting, there were these little clumps of people getting together, three or four, and they were talking about a situation that one or more of them could address. And what I came to find out was that while the meetings themselves were generating 490 service integration activities, that there are actually over 1,400 that were generated beyond the meeting. Mm-hmm. They occurred through phone calls. They occurred in these little group meetings afterwards. And they just didn't want to take up meeting time with 15 or 20 people to address a need that they knew they could do at the end of the meeting in 10 minutes between three of them standing around and talking together. So one of the things that we did out in Polk County was I asked them to start developing
information and recording those activities as well. And so we know that altogether there were over 1,900 integration activities in 2010. So who's involved in this? Well, there are over 150 partnering agencies. There's about 105 of those that actually sit on the committees, and then there are another 45 that contribute either through the community fairs that they do, or they offer some financial support, but they don't actually go to the meetings. But there are 150 different ones that are involved in that. I also tried to look at and discover exactly how many different individuals that touched, and just based on the data that I could find, there were over 4,000 children and adults in Polk County who received service through service integration in 2010. So how does this work? Well, Polk County Commission for Children and Families about 17 years ago organized this facilitated group team method with the local school districts. So it's really a partnership between the school districts and the Polk County Commission. And what they did was they set up one team in each of the areas, and these teams meet once a month. And when they meet, what they do is the public and the nonprofit, private, even individual citizens, they get together and they talk through whatever needs are on the table. They also communicate about what each different entity has to offer. So if the churches are offering a particular outreach, that gets shared in those meetings so that every provider around the table knows about that. They build these incredible relationships between the different members who are there. And they do have a small amount of money that they can use to address requests that come to the teams. I'll talk about that in just a minute. But one of the things that the commission does is they provide the leadership, they provide some staff for a little bit of materials. Obviously, they have some office supplies and technology. So there is a little bit of that for each team supported by the county. So what does each team do? Well, they operate independently, as I mentioned. They set their own annual goals, and there is a commission person who sits on and helps co-facilitate each team. But there is an accountability, and the accountabilities go for the individual members back to their boards or their commissions. But they also have to report to a Service Integration Leadership Council that is made up of leadership from the school districts and the commission, and they also have to report to the commission as well each month. So there is accountability. So these team members have the county agencies, the school districts, nonprofits, the ministerial associations, city and state agencies, they have private business. They even have individual citizens that just hear about it and want to join in, and they have representatives from higher education, which in Polk County would include Chemeketa, Western Oregon, and Oregon State. Whoops, are we stuck here? There we go. So how's that representation break down? I found this to be pretty interesting. As I mentioned before, a lot of times people out in the general public think, well, this is just a bunch of government agencies getting together. But that's really not the case. As this slide shows, the government agency representation in the service integration model in Polk County, there's 27 government agencies. However, there are also 25 business representatives, 46 nonprofits, that's the biggest group. The faith community has 20 different members that come to the various service integration meetings. There are 7 individual citizens who just come because they've heard about it, they think it's important work, and they join in. The educational community is represented by 29 different entities, schools and districts, and there are 3 members from the tribal organizations. And this is how it breaks down by the 6 teams. And you can see that these teams are well represented. The biggest one is actually Dallas, but followed very closely by West Salem. And if you've ever been out to Perrydale is not a very big community, and yet they have 16 members on that team. So I would say per capita-wise, probably Perrydale is the biggest. So how do they get funded? Well, the school districts and Polk County Human Services each contribute $14,000 annually to the service integration pot, so to speak. So there's $28,000 in total. And then that gets divided between the six teams. So the smallest teams get $3,000. And the largest team, like West Salem or Dallas, they get $7,000. So it's a very small amount of money, but we'll talk in a minute about how that ends up getting leveraged into a lot more. Polk County Human Services also provides essentially the equivalent of about a half-time person. It's split up with a tenth here and a tenth there, but they do provide some office space and technology. And then the commission, under the County Human Services, they essentially provide about one full-time equivalency. It's not, again, one person. It's little pieces of people who provide some service. The other thing I wanted to look at when I went through their expenditures was, you know, what are they doing with this money? And granted, $28,000 is not a lot of money, but where does it go? And so this pie chart shows you how they spent their money in 2010. This really creates a safety net kind of approach between the small amount of money and the service that the different entities provide. But I really came to see it mostly as a hand up, not a handout. I couldn't find any examples where the team provided the entire solution. So when requests came, whether it was for a tuition for an after-school class for a needy youth or whether it was for a piece of medical equipment that a person needed, generally what the team would do is provide part of the solution, and the rest of it came from an agency or a nonprofit or a private person. Here's a few examples of ones that I looked at. There was a need in West Salem for 30 backpacks for homeless kids. And that came to the team meeting. And right there in that meeting, two West Salem partners said, we can take care of that. Each one did 15 backpacks. So it cost the group the service integration nothing out of their $28,000. But the fact that all those people were in the room together, they were able to create that solution. There's a family that had their tires slashed, and the mom couldn't get to work. Salem Leadership Foundation said, we can take care of that. And they got new tires for that car. There was a low-income request for a child who's low-income who wanted to participate in after-school sports, and an anonymous donor just said, I'll write a check for that. And then bus passes to get to work. That was one where mental health said, we can get those bus passes. So out of all the requests that came to the service integration teams in 2010, 48% of them were met without any team dollars, and the other 52% got some team support, but none of them were entirely funded. So I tried to look at that and say, okay, well, you know, so we put in some money or they put in some money. What was the total cost? And this was not something that the county had tracked very efficiently, so we had to just look at ones that I could go back and find the data on. But, for example, there was an $800 grant that was made by the West Salem team to a violence prevention program. However, that was matched by $2,925 from three other sources, one of them being the school district contributed directly to that as well. They have quite a dental outreach in Polk County, which has been hugely successful. The teams only put in $1,100 to that, and yet the dental services totaled over $17,000. So great leverage up of dollars. In the ones I could find examples for, out of the $28,000, we could find that $129,600 was the value of the services that came out of that. So the multiplier effect was very huge. But a lot of what happens there really happens because of the network of relationships. The group that you see sitting in the audience represents those relationships, and that's about the number of people who would be sitting around these tables in a meeting developing the relationship to find the solutions to the problems that come to human service folks. The other thing that these groups do is they get together and they'll sponsor, and the county has helped facilitate community events. So they've had health outreach fairs in virtually all of the six areas. And they'll do graduation things. They'll recognize volunteers. So they do other kinds of outreach events that bring the broader community under the umbrella of service integration as well. And they've been very effective at that. I just brought one of the examples. We did a listing of all the examples, but I thought it might be helpful for you to see. This is for the West Salem Resource Fair, and they do health and safety, nutrition, literacy, those kinds of activities at this particular fair. But you can see from the list of participants, these were sponsors and donors, partners who jumped in. And it's a really wide variety, some that you would certainly expect. You'd expect probably to see Kiwanis Club on here, Boys and Girls Club. But Blue Elephant Car Wash, you might not expect to see on a list like this. But the outreach is so good, especially with the ministerial associations involved, that people in the business community are willing to support these. Recently, Brent just joined the Dallas Chamber of Commerce. So now, working with the Dallas Chamber of Commerce, he'll be able to develop those business relationships as well. So here are some of the key folks, and you'll hear from Brent and Angela and Deb in just a minute. They all part-time, have time with the service integration model. This chart shows the leadership of the Polk County Commission, and you'll see on there that pretty good background. You've got retired educators, you've got Leadership Foundation people, Family Building Blocks, the tribe is represented, there's an attorney on there, so nice representation of folks that oversee the service integration effort in Polk County. There's even a student on it, which I personally like. And the service integration model also allows related efforts to get broadly distributed. Three that are going on right now that are significant in Polk County are the Reading for All effort, which is grant funded. It promotes community literacy. They have representation at each of the meetings, and so the literacy outreach gets to all these different agencies and nonprofits. The parental investment one has been a goal in Polk County. They've just written a grant, haven't heard yet, on funding for it through the Ford Foundation. But if that happens, that will occur through the service integration teams. And again, it's a place where through these teams, different parenting classes, that information gets out to the broad general spectrum of providers. And then drug and alcohol prevention, which of course is important in all communities, they, again, have representation on each team, and so as there are opportunities for training services for different people who need them, that information is distributed as well. I put a couple of testimonials in here, although in a minute you're going to hear from some people who have very firsthand experience with this. This particular one was a family that, because of the economy, they'd lost their home. They needed a place to live. And thanks to that request came to the service integration team, and the Dallas Resource Center was the one that ended up being the provider in this. And thanks to them, and you can see from reading this, these people were able to get into a rental. And I love her last line when she wrote this. She said, "I pay it forward to anyone we can assist." And so I think that speaks well of what goes on. Also, like that, in my investigation in Polk County, there was no age group that was left out. It was, you know, diapers to end-of-life service. And this particular one was a Latino young lady who had thought about going to college but really wasn't sure that maybe that was something that she should even think about doing. And through the service integration team, they were able to leverage up some dollars and create a visitation opportunity, not just for her, but for several students. And if you read this, she found out that going to college, she could be welcomed there, that there would be other kids like her, that she wouldn't just stand out and be alone. And she ended up registering and going to college this year. And I think that's fabulous that that happened for her. I really like these. These are a couple people on the teams, just comments that people made, and I thought, well, it's important to share how the people on the team feel. This first one was a teacher who, until they really looked at the data, they're so busy just doing this all the time, they didn't have any idea of the number of outreach efforts that had occurred until they looked at the evaluation data that was put in front of them. And the second one from an outreach pastor, the service integration is the shoe that makes us jump higher. I think that's a great description of what happens in Polk County. And what we'd like to do now, Brent's going to introduce a few people to come up and actually tell you firsthand what it's like to be involved with the Polk County service integration.
Thanks, Dave. And whenever you guys have any questions, you can jump on in. But we did bring a few guests. I'm not allowed to talk very much because I can talk on and on. That's why I've been quiet, and I know we have a time frame. But we do have at least three folks that are going to come up right now. Debbie McMillan and Angela Chambers, they are the service integration facilitators for Polk County. Angela facilitates two teams, and Debbie facilitates four teams. We're going to have them come up, and then I know we have at least one pastor and possibly one other person to give a bit of a testimony. So I'll let them introduce themselves when they come up.
Great.
Mr. Co-Chair?
Yes.
I would be really interested, and I'm not sure who can talk about this, how this team started. What was the genesis of this team?
We'll answer that at the end.
Great.
Representative for me.
Good morning, Chair Gilliam and Chair Tomei, members of the committee. Thank you for having us this morning and letting us talk a little bit about service integration. I love that Dave talked about how there isn't one demographic that's left out of the service integration partners that come together.
For our record,
sure.
State your name.
I'm Angela Chambers. I'm so sorry.
Okay,
I facilitate the Central and Fall City teams. Like I said, as Dave mentioned, there's not one demographic that's left out. I'm going to talk about a specific example that happened around the central team for an individual. He's a single adult. He has cerebral palsy and also seizure disorder. And so the Polk County Mental Health Developmental Disability Case Manager was working with this client and had a concern, a need that the family had. This gentleman receives about $3,000 in financial support every month for the state just because of his condition and the support that he needs. He's currently being cared for by his parents in the home, and they're hoping to continue that. Before his condition started to deteriorate, he loved to ride just a street bicycle, and that was how he got his exercise and continued to work his muscles to help just maintain where he was at and for his condition not to worsen. Unfortunately, it did begin to decline a little bit. And so, working with a physical therapist, the recommendation was that he get a recumbent bicycle. Well, unfortunately, the bike itself was about $400, and then he needed some additional attachments to go with it to make it safe so he could do it on his own. For the family support program through the state, that had actually already been maxed out, so they did not have the funds to help him. They brought the request to the Central Service Integration Team, and we began to discuss it. And within a matter of about 10 minutes, the team decided to go ahead and support that. The family also contributed. They don't have a lot of financial resource because they are spending most of their time taking care of him, so they're not able to go and have full-time jobs. They do work some, so they were able to contribute a little bit of that. So the team spent $400. The family contributed $50, and we were able to purchase that bike for him. And I love the fact not only that we were able to make the immediate purchase and get that bike for him, but the long-term effects really are great because if he did not get the bike, then his condition, the physical therapist, would rapidly decline, and he would need the next level of intensive care, which could cost the state about $3,000 to $8,000 more per month. So, like I said, the long-term effects of that were really great to see happen. So it was an exciting thing. And then just his quality of life for him to be able to do that on his own, where so much of his life is spent depending on other people, that was just really exciting to see. So I just wanted to share that specific example of the partnership of how those pieces came together.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Debbie McMillan. I'm a coordinator for Polk County Service Integration. I'm very nervous. I facilitate the Dallas, Grand Ronde, Perrydale, and Fall City, West Salem teams in Polk County. And it's a pleasure to be here and talk to you this morning. One thing I just wanted to talk to you about is the role that service integration plays, thankfully not very often, and that is when we have a crisis in our community, the role that service integration plays. Because of the many long-standing, wonderful partnerships that we have formed and established in our communities, pulling together in a time of crisis is really a great example of the collaboration in Polk County. When dealing with the death of a youth in any of the communities in Polk County, service integration has become just a natural coordinating force for bringing these partners together. Usually it takes one phone call to Human Services to notify us of a school that has been affected, sometimes two schools that have been affected by, sadly, a death of a youth. And that one phone call sets in motion a response from so many local partners. Usually the teams have the role of funding some food, some comfort supplies to take to a room at the school where youth can come in and gather and grieve and talk to people about the feelings that they're having with this death. But there's many other ways that the partners come together. The local school counselors are familiar faces to kids at this time of crisis because of the great coordination between the school district and Polk County Mental Health. The schools, the counselors that these kids deal with on a daily basis are mental health counselors. And so it's familiar, it's comforting, they're people that they see on a daily basis. Other things that the service integration teams have done when in crisis, when dealing with a school in crisis, is a few years ago there was a tragedy out in the Willamina area, and we were called in to assist with answering the school's phones while the staff gathered their thoughts and their emotions together after just hearing about the death of three students out there in their school. So having already established those partnerships on a daily basis makes it very easy to place those phone calls and bring partners together in a time of crisis. Just recently, the Dallas community had the death of a high school wrestler. It happened at a wrestling meet in front of friends and family. This was on a Thursday evening, and on Friday morning, we received a call asking for partners to assist in any way they could. Within an hour of being at work Friday morning, we knew that there were counselors in place at the schools. The Ministerial Association was there. Service integration staff received approval from a team to get food and counseling supplies into the school. And we know that our involvement is very much appreciated. I wanted to read a quote from the counselor after this particular incident that says, "When something like this happens, it can be tough to find the positives, especially early in these aftermaths. I just wanted to say how amazing I thought the response was by everyone involved. To me, this is a clinic on how a community comes together and works through a tragedy." That was from a school counselor that works closely with us in the service integration teams. I just want to say that working closely together when times are good with the partnerships that we've established makes it very easy to come together when we're faced with a crisis. Thank you.
Thank you.
And here comes Brent again.
While Jeremy's making his way up here, I have the answer to your question. Service integration actually started more like 17 or 18 years ago. Polk County was selected as a pilot project through DHS to pilot this service integration model, and when the funding and those things went away, Polk County held on to it, and it has continued ever since. Okay. So I'm going to let Reverend Jeremy introduce himself and tell you why he's here.
My name is Jeremy Haidu-Pollin. I'm the pastor of Dallas United Methodist Church in Dallas, and so I attend the Dallas Service Integration Team meeting. In our church, for over 160 years, has been very involved in our community, but in the last year, we've been wanting to take that up a notch or two. So I began attending those service integration team meetings as a representative of my church, and what I love about those meetings is that I think at every meeting I've attended, I've been made aware of a need in the community that I think our church can help with, and that's what we want to do. We want to help with needs in the community, and as a pastor, it's a part of my job, I believe, to be aware of the needs in the community. So for a very small example, I attended a meeting a couple of months ago and discovered that there would be a camp for teenage kids in foster care over spring break. It was a life skills camp. Apparently the budget had been reduced a little bit, and they were asking for some help, assistance with their food budget for that camp during the week. And they were asking the Dallas Service Integration Team for $100 to help cover their food budget. Well, that was easy. I just knew that if I took that to my church, we'd get that $100 in a heartbeat, and we did. And so a week or two later, I dropped off that check at their office, and it just happened so quickly and so easily. Another example, and I didn't even have to attend a meeting for this one, but Debbie and Angela send out regular emails to partners that sit around that table together. Was made aware of a need in West Salem. There's an autistic child. The family needed a portable crib for that child. Saw that email come through. I turned around and fired off an email to the parenting group in our church, and within an hour or something like that, I had a response from a family who said, "Oh, we have one that we're not using anymore. It's in great shape." And the next morning, Brent pulled up in front of our church, and I loaded it into his truck and didn't even have to meet to get that need addressed. So I love Service Integration Team because these are needs I wouldn't be aware of, our church wouldn't be aware of, unless we were sitting around that table together. And as you've already heard Dave say, very efficiently those needs can get met. Also, the relationships that exist around that table are very critical and allow other things to happen that aren't necessarily directly out of the Service Integration Team. So I'm working with a housing authority in Dallas to provide an opportunity for some of their families and their self-sufficiency program to help strengthen their work in that program. It's an opportunity for their families to get away for a couple of nights together to a camp on the Oregon coast. Well, the relationships around that table, that Service Integration Team table, help some of that happen. Not a need brought to the team, but kind of a thing on the fringe that is really valuable as well. And then the last thing I guess I would say is that I sit on the Service Integration Team, both representing my church, but I'm also a member of the Ministerial Association in Dallas. And there's one other person who sits around that table who's also a member of the Ministerial Association. And our ministerial in Dallas has 20-plus churches that come together. So needs that we're made aware of around that Service Integration Team table find their way out to the Ministerial Association as well, which just kind of expands those who may be able to bring some resources to bear on a need that gets expressed there. That's something that I really appreciate as well. So again, I just really appreciate this model as an opportunity to come and to hear about needs and to let our church do what I think it's meant to do, which is to help address needs in the community. So thank you.
Mr. Chair, may I ask
you? Chair.
Thank you. I'm just so impressed with this. Just fantastic presentation. I'm wondering who funds, Brent, both your salary and Debbie's and Angela's?
Chair Tomei, members of the committee, my salary is funded through the Commission for Children and Families Infrastructure, so I'm the manager for the Children and Families Commission. And then Debbie's salary mostly comes from commission funds and also some Polk County Human Services funds. And Angela is 0.5 FTE with the commission, and so we use commission dollars, and then she's 0.5 FTE roughly with the service integration, and those dollars come from Polk County Human Services.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
Members of the committee, if I were sitting in your shoes, there's a couple of questions that I would definitely have, and that's where I think we'll conclude unless you have others. First, why does this work? I mean, we're telling you it's out there. It's been there for 17 years, but what makes it happen? And it really is the combination of these relationships, matching the resources very effectively, having efficient laser-like kinds of meetings. But really, it's the energetic people that are committed to this. And I remember one of the people saying just offhandedly that the first meeting they put on their calendar every month is the Service Integration Team meeting, because they see them as so productive. And they really are. It's a one-stop or one-call kind of networking process. And then I think they see the value of the multiplier effect of their work and the monies. So I think that's the crux of why it's working. But the other question I would have if I were you is, so what? So it works in Polk County. Is it going to work in Clackamas County? Is it going to work out in Baker? You know, will it work anywhere else? And I think the answer to that is yes. I think it is transportable, but I think it takes these things. It takes really committed leadership, and that's been in existence. The commission board and then leaders like Brent have really been committed to the idea of service integration, and with that, the forged relationships that have developed. Critical to that is getting rid of the walls and silos. In those meetings, there's no, well, this is my domain and I'm going to take care of this and stay out of my business. It's, we're going to figure this out together and we're going to get it resolved. They have a huge amount of both institutional knowledge and community knowledge. And so their knowledge about the options that exist in their community or through the state or through the county or through the city or the school district, they have a great handle on that. They do have that small amount of dedicated funds. That $28,000, while that seems like a pretty small drop in the big buckets that you guys have to deal with, to them that's huge. To be able to be part of that solution is huge, and to have a few dollars to put into it. And then I think finally they have a huge recognition of time, talents, and resources.
Can I interrupt you just for a second? Representative Frederick has a question.
No, actually, you were going there. Keep going on that last part. I want to ask after you finish that last
question. Okay. They have begun to recognize, they do recognize that by multiplying, they have a multiplier effect of their time and their talent and their resource. So they can look at each of those things and say, if I give this much time, the benefit is huge. It really works for my clients or my constituents. And so they are so wrapped up in that as a solution that they see it as valuable, and they become these partners that work together. And that really is the crux of it. If this can be developed, does it have to be through school districts? I don't think so. If I was in a different county, especially a larger county, I don't know that I would use school districts as the vehicle. But I think you could define those vehicles, whether they're geographic, agency-driven, school districts, whatever the format, but it would take a committed effort to get it there. Thank you.
There are two questions I have. One is, it appears as though you've managed to keep this in terms of a generational thing. One of the things that I've run into for several decades is that you'll have one charismatic group of people who have decided to organize something, and then once they burn out,
right,
or move on, it falls apart. How have you managed to keep this going?
Okay. Go first.
Representative Frederick, members of the committee, I think it's because of the diversity of the partners around the table. Although we have an early childhood group that focuses just on early childhood, the service integration teams really are a representation of everybody in the community. On any given day, at any given meeting at one of these six teams, they could really be helping out with diapers, with childcare, with an after-school program, with a disabled or a handicapped person who needs help with a wheelchair. It is all of the ages, and by maintaining all of the partnerships and having an open and inclusive environment where anybody is welcome, no matter if they're, like Dave said, a citizen or any agency or church, everybody comes to that table, and so everybody's needs are heard, so to speak.
I think one of the things that's happened is kind of like the snowball going down the hill. It's picked up so much membership and momentum that it keeps rolling down the hill. And so if one partner, one nonprofit drops out, they burn out, the effect of that is very small because the snowball has gotten so big, and the other partners who have come in keep it going. They want to carry it on. But it does take leadership. I think without the county's leadership of this and the commitment by the Polk County Board to get behind it and to stay behind it, I think it would have probably failed by now.
Please,
Paul. One other thing. It occurs to me that there's an incredible amount of mutual respect. It's not just that the silos have broken down. It's that there's an respect on the expertise of the people who are there. Am I correct in that, or is that what I'm seeing? Is that correct?
There's probably heads nodding behind me.
They are. They're
absolutely.
They're bobble dolls,
absolutely.
Sort of thing. Thank you.
I think one of the things that's worth mentioning, as Representative Gilliam is from Marion County, this may sound somewhat familiar to what Marion County calls community progress teams. whether local county commissions on children and families call them service integration teams, community progress teams, you might have heard of YST, youth service teams. There are lots of commissions that organize this work locally. This isn't something that's just new or unique to just Polk County. We may have it a little bit more organized. We may have actually done an evaluation on it, but I think that if you look to your counties that you represent, you would see very similar kinds of collaborations.
We have one other question here from Chair Tomei.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So it sounds like the genesis was when the Commission for Children and Families was formed, and so the county also took a close partnership in that, the county commissioners. But also, I'm wondering if the Commission for Children and Families changes in the next year or two or three or 4 years, then what will that do to the... Will this team survive without that kind of leadership from the Commission for Children and Families?
Chair Tomei, members of the committee, that's a tough question to answer. We'd like to think that with all of the partners there that people would still meet, but having that facilitator, having county staff be the leadership and the organization, that institutional knowledge of knowing all the partners and having ways to bring them together. Let me interject here on another way that we do things. We do meet once a month, but as you guys know, needs come up in between meetings. And so if there's a need that comes up with a family, with a child, with a senior, that is addressed via email very efficiently. We use SurveyMonkey, we track it, and we can expend funds through an email vote and handle that problem just like that. The reason I mention it is it takes the staff to be able to do that. You have to have paid people to do it. Although all of the agencies and partners are wonderful, to ask one of them to step up in these times to actually organize and do all of the work that the staff do probably wouldn't happen.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions before we... I think we're going to close to a summary probably because of time. Representative Thompson.
I'd like to introduce Commissioner Mike Ainsworth, who's here from the Polk County Commission, and reinforce the commission is very, very involved in these kinds of programs. It's one of the stability points of making it work.
I'd like to say something. Thanks for introducing me, Jim. I think
come on up. We got a chair for you. And
better make it official.
Anything you say here has to be on the record.
Oh, shoot. Huh?
Since I came on board just 4 months ago.
For the record. Your name?
Mike Ainsworth, Polk County Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner.
I have just been overwhelmed at the work that this commission does. And as a resident of Polk County, my entire life, it's a pleasure to come to work every day and work with these folks, because I think from whatever district you're from, who knows more about the people that live in your county than these folks? They know what's right for Polk County, and I cannot say enough good things about these folks. They are dedicated. They could be working many other places, making a lot more money. But they're dedicated to all the folks of Polk County, not just a small little group over here or a little group. When they say diversification, they mean it. And the groups, and Dave has done an excellent job today of explaining what goes on in Polk County with this service integration team. And sometimes I think folks think of government as just wasting all this money and it's all about the administrative cost, but these services come right down to the people, and their leveraging of the dollars is what's the most important thing of this entire program. Is, you know, $1, $4 worth of services. I don't know where else you can say that. I really don't. And that's the one thing that I would like to leave with you folks today, is that $1 multiplies to four. And the times that we're in right now in budget crisis, this is a great example. And it's just an honor to be here. I appreciate all the time that you folks have given small little Polk County. But, you know, people can learn from Polk County and what they've done for a number of years. And thanks for your time.
Thank you, Commissioner. Representative White.
I know we have to get out of here because we have to go to caucus, but I'd like to thank all my constituents from Polk County for being here today with me having just the north part of Polk County, and they're doing an excellent job. And so I just want to recognize them, just to jump over to the other gym. You guys have two gym representatives. Wow. So gyms are liked in Polk County.
Oh, yeah, Jungle Gym.
Any other comment?
That's not on the record, is it? Huh?
Yes, it was. Actually, the blue light's on. It's on the record.
There you go, huh? No, I just want to thank everybody in the room for coming. I want to thank those that spoke. I think we all learned a great deal about what integrating services, volunteers, existing organizations can do. I'm very grateful to my co-chair for agreeing to this public hearing and for our colleague Jim Thompson bringing it together. And I'm especially grateful for her question, because as from a policy standpoint, colleagues, and from a funding standpoint, how we move forward with the commissions for the whole state is extremely important. And rarely do we form task forces and work groups, but your question, which brought out to light, there was one 17 years ago that actually was a great pilot, and we see the fruits here and in other counties. I'm proud of what's going on in Marion County, and my executive director's here in the back as well. But thank you for bringing Polk County's story to this committee today, and for the things I learned, and I hope my colleagues did too. Are there other comments before we close? Well, with that, we want to again thank you, and I'm going to adjourn the House Committee on Human Services.